Already on the phone right now is author Jack Carr. His third novel, Savage Son, comes out on April 14th from Atria. It's the next installment of his James Reese series, and he's on the phone right now. Hey, Jack, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I know you're in New York, and you're in New York, right?
I'm in Park City, Utah.
Oh, in Utah.
The publisher's
okay.
In New York. ATS, Simon & Schuster's back there, and they're all on lockdown working from home. But
yeah.
I'm doing the same with three kids and wife and everything else, just in lockdown here in Park City, Utah.
Do you guys have enough toilet paper? I'm always worried about that for people.
That's the least of our worries. But no, we're quite prepared, I would say. But taking notes on how to do it better next time, of course. But yeah, we are all set to isolate for quite some time up here in the mountains.
I haven't heard much about the Utah. Obviously it's bad everywhere. How are things in Utah as far as the virus and the situation there?
It's hard to tell because there are people, like per capita, I think it is high, particularly where we are, because we have so many people who have second and third homes here. So they fly in from New York and other places. And I think the per capita rate of the spread is high. So everyone's on that lockdown here. But that being said, there are not that many full-time residents here, so there's not that many cases. But everyone's on lockdown, doing the isolation thing. And everyone's helping out their neighbors and all that. So it's a crazy time, and everyone's trying to adapt as best they can to a changing environment.
Yeah, now obviously you probably have a little bit more time on your hands to write as well as taking care of your family, but how are the kids doing? Because it's probably tougher on the kids going stir crazy than it probably is on the adults.
Kids are very adaptable, at least ours are. So they're doing just fine. It's my wife and I being trapped in the house with them as they, quote-unquote, try to help me write my fourth novel. That's the difficult part. So it's actually great. I'm enjoying the family time. We get out on the mountain here on the snowshoes for hikes and get out and throw the football in the backyard and all that. So I'm enjoying having them around, but it's it doesn't give me more time to write, that's for sure. Most of my writing is done after everyone goes to bed at night and it's finally quiet in the house.
So you spent 20 years in naval special warfare. You were a sail sniper, a junior officer leading assault and sniper teams in Iraq and Afghanistan, to platoon leader, and a whole bunch of other stuff. I mean, obviously, the usual thank you for your service goes here to you, sir. And you have to, the fascinating thing about your books is you have to go through the government, because you are an ex-government war guy, and they censor your books. And it's great that you actually, in your books, you black out stuff that the government says you're not allowed to have in. And I love reading the foreword to your book where you're kind of like, they're just being ridiculous about some of these things.
Yes, and by some, I mean all of the things that they take out, because nothing in these books is classified. In this third one, Savage Son, that comes out here April 14th, they took out something that I knew from the 80s, that I knew before I went into the military. When I was in junior high school, I read about these little mini submarines that we have in the SEAL teams, and I give a little description of one, and they blacked that out in this third one. Totally ridiculous, but you know, you have somebody who's sitting there behind the desk that needs to justify their job, and when in doubt, black it out is, I think, their kind of their mantra. And for the second one, True Believer, I appealed. So I had 54 different redactions, whether that was one word, one paragraph, sentence, whatever. But 54 of those sections blacked out, and I appealed, which took another 6 months. And they got back to me, and I won on 37 of those that I appealed. And the others still aren't classified, but they left them in for whatever reason. But so the paperback came out, and I unredacted the what I won on appeal. So if people are really interested, they can compare the hardback to the paperback and see what the government allowed me to unredact in that second novel.
I think it's great, though, that you and the publisher decided to put the books out like that, even though, you know, like you said, you can maybe figure out the word or what the word isn't, but it kind of makes it more fascinating to me to actually read it with words blacked out.
Thank you. So I'd seen it done in nonfiction a couple times before, but I'd never seen it done in a work of fiction. So, and also I didn't know, like, what do you do if you write around what they said you need to take out, but it's not good enough. You didn't write around it. You have to submit it again for what they say is 30 days, but ends up being 6-7 months. So I just left it blacked out in the novel, and hopefully that adds a little bit of authenticity to it. And also people can try to figure out the puzzle and figure out what the government deemed so secret that it had to be removed from a work of fiction.
Well, these books are great, and I'm reading the reviews from the blurbs that you get from other authors. With your first book, Lee Child, this is seriously good. I mean, seriously, Mark Greene, The Real Book Spy, Kierkegaard. Your second book, you got Brad Thor, you got Mark Owen, it's John Parnell, The Washington Times, The Providence Journal. I mean, seriously, I mean, people, this is only your third book, but you're one of the greats in this genre already.
Well, I feel extremely humbled and was very fortunate that everyone has welcomed me with open arms. And I kind of thought it would be different. I thought that in anything, because in the SEAL teams, you're very competitive and you want to, you know, do the obstacle course better than someone in your platoon. So that they in turn want to do it better than you next time. Or on the range, you want to run a shooting drill faster or better than your buddy, so that everybody's upping their game all the time in this competition. And I thought that it was going to be like that in publishing. And when I got out, that the people that have been around for a little bit would keep me at arm's length and view me as competition, and the exact opposite of that was true. Everyone welcomed me with open arms, gave me great advice. Everyone's been such a great mentor. David Morrell, who created Rambo back in 1972 and wrote this series in the 80s that started with Brotherhood of the Rose, that was extremely influential on me both as an author and is to guide me to my path in the SEAL teams. He blurbed my third book, and he's been so supportive. So just an amazing group of people that are all very encouraging and supportive. So I feel that I'm with an incredible group of people.
Yeah, I'm reading reviews for the third one. Mark Cameron, Savage Son, is savagely good. Deep State author Chris Halte, who just had his book come out, which is really good. Did you read his book, by the way?
Oh, yeah, I read that early copy and gave him a blurb.
Oh, my God, it's so good. He says, Savage Son, Jack Carr, Halo jumps the reader, that most dangerous game, manhunting man, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, Joshua Hood. I mean, you got the big guys, so that's really cool. And this new book is the continuation of the James Reese series. And if you want, real quick, you know, just give a little overview of who James Reese is from the first book through the third book.
Yeah, so he's a former Navy SEAL sniper who becomes an officer at some point along the way. And when the reader meets him in the first book, he's at the same point I was in at my time in the SEAL teams. It was my last year in the teams. I knew that I wanted to get out and I wanted to write fiction, so I started writing. And the point I was at is the point we meet the protagonist. And of course, that's where the similarities end, and it's 100% fiction. But I get to kind of go back into the feelings and emotions behind different experiences downrange and take those and apply them to a completely fictional narrative. So that first novel is really all about revenge without constraint. And it's also, if you read it a little bit deeper, it's about somebody who comes home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and brings those wars home to politicians, corrupt politicians, and people in finance and that government apparatus that betrayed him and his team and his family. And he brings the tactics, techniques, and procedures that worked so well against us overseas to the home front. So there's a couple ways to read that first one. Second one is a continuation of the story, and it's really a story of redemption. I call it violent redemption, where the character needs to learn to live again. He needs to transition, just like those of us that leave special operations, or really anyone that transitions in life from one job to another, or whatever it may be, has to learn to find that next purpose, that next mission. And so that's the second one that goes international in scope. And then this third one is the one I've wanted to write since I was in sixth grade, when I first read The Most Dangerous Game by Richard Connell, which was a 1924 short story that I understand a lot of schools still read today. And I knew that one day I would write a fictional thriller that paid tribute to that novel, which really explores the dark side of man and through that dynamic of hunter versus hunted. So that's the third one, and I could not be more excited to get that out there in April.
Yeah, James Reese is a badass, and in this book, he's recovering from brain surgery in the Montana wilderness with his friend and their family, Rafe Hastings. They're out there just, you know, in the wild, chilling, you know, doing whatever they do out there. But unbeknownst to him, The Russian mafia is at it, and they've set their sights on Reason, a deadly game of cat and mouse. And a traitor CIA officer has also found refuge with the Russian mafia with designs on taking down James Reese. But James Reese and the Hastings don't go down easy. The Hastings are a badass military family as well. And they take the fight to Montana, but the Montana people, no, I don't want to give too much away. They take the fight right back to these Russians, and then James decides he ain't having this, and he goes on the offensive, and it takes place over several months. But James Reese is not one to mess with.
That's right. That's right. So I really wrote what things that I wanted to read, and because I was a lifelong reader, and my mom was a librarian, really my professors in the art of storytelling were all these guys in the 80s and 90s who I read growing up before I went in the military, and then, of course, continued to read while I was in the military. Guys like Nelson DeMille, David Morrell, A.J. Quinnell, J.C. Pollock, Louis L'Amour, Tom Clancy, guys like that. And then later, Stephen Hunter and Daniel Silva and Brad Thor and Vince Flynn and now Mark Graney, who's just an amazing guy, great, great friend. Those guys all really gave me a foundation from which to build. And then I got to layer on top of that my academic study of warfare, insurgencies, terrorism, and then my real world experience from Iraq and Afghanistan as a SEAL, and kind of put all those together and weave them in to these fictional narratives. So I think I have a good foundation from which to build and which to continue writing these stories.
And I'm reading the notes that your author, your publisher sent over with the book. Part of Savage Son are set in Siberia. This past year, you actually, for all intents and purposes, went off the grid to Siberia to do research for your book.
That's right. Yeah, I left my computer at home, left my phone at home, because who knows what, from my past life, who knows what emails and text messages people have sent me over the years that we wouldn't want in the hands of the Russians. So I left all that stuff behind. I brought a sat phone just to stay in touch with my family, and went over to Kamchatka Peninsula, which is just south of Siberia. For the previous novel, I'd gone to Mozambique and then to South Africa to really learn about poaching, anti-poaching units, Chinese influence in the area, all that sort of thing, and really weave that flavor into the second story. And I needed to do the same with a third. And I thought that it would be kind of similar to Mozambique and South Africa, where everyone I talked to wanted to tell me their story, the story of their country, the story of that Chinese influence, both in mining operations, both legal and illegal, poaching, all of that. They wanted to tell me their story and couldn't be more excited that I was going to weave it into a novel. Russia, a little different deal. And I realized very quickly that for most of Russian history, if someone is asking you very pointed questions, particularly the kind I'm asking, because these are political thrillers, it wasn't a very good thing. And you were off to the gulag not soon afterwards. So it was a totally different environment as far as conducting interviews, getting to know people, building relationships, and getting people to feel comfortable enough where they would talk about their story, personal, and the story of their country or their region, in this case, in Russia. So eventually I did wear them down and got some great local flavor to weave into the storyline in book three.
People can follow you online at officialjackcarr.com, at Facebook, Jack Carr USA, at Twitter, Jack Carr USA. How many more books do you think this series, as long as you have ideas, you can keep going with this series for many years to come?
I'm not going to run out of ideas, that's for sure. Those two things I wanted to do in life were, one, serve my country as a SEAL, and two, write thrillers in this genre. So I have a lot of ideas, and a lot of them are actually written out already as one-page kind of executive summaries that I'll morph as I move forward here and move on to the fourth, fifth, sixth book. So super excited about all that. And the place I engage with people mostly is Instagram, actually, Jack Carr USA on Instagram. And crazy enough, Chris Pratt optioned this first novel for a film. So
oh, wow.
Should be getting some more news on that coming out soon. Anton Fuqua directing, and looks like a 10-part series for one of the streaming services. So that's some pretty cool news, and couldn't think of a better guy to play James Reese.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's great. Congratulations. As long as the check clears, that's half the battle.
I guess so. I just feel fortunate enough to be at this stage, and things can always derail, so I always keep my expectations low, so I'm not disappointed. But Chris is a great guy, absolutely amazing, and he's the person I thought of playing the role as I was writing, which is even crazier. So so amazing that he's involved and that they're pushing this forward, and it's a learning experience for me, that's for sure.
So obviously in the next book and the books to come, James Reese is still going to be fighting the bad guys. The next book probably about a year from now?
Yep, so they're in a one-a-year schedule. So the next one should come out in April of 2021. And I started researching that. Actually, I wrote the outline on the way to Russia in longhand because I didn't have my computer with me. And started, when I got back, really dove into the research. And it's really explores the morality, ethics, and legality of targeted assassinations. But the underlying theme, it also explores bioweapons and infectious diseases. So when COVID-19 hit, I was uber sensitive to all these things because I'd been so involved in the research portion of book four. And anyway, now that we're in this current situation, I can look to how the country has reacted to COVID-19 and then use that, kind of project forward and look back on our present time, knowing that the next book will come out in April and talk about what we're going through right now as a country. So it was kind of crazy that I was researching that when all these things started to hit.
And I guess the final thing I want to ask you, and this might be a fun contest to do, or maybe just whatever, are you doing an over-under for every book you turn into the government to see how many things they might want you to edit or take out?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I can continue to do that because they advertise 30 days, and yet you never know how long it's going to take them. So the second and third ones took 7 months. In my second book, we had to delay publication. So it was supposed to come out last April, but the government still hadn't gotten back to us, so we had to push it to the middle of the summer. For the publisher and everybody else, booksellers, everyone else that's involved, it's that uncertainty is not a good thing. So because it's fiction, I don't think I'm going to do it anymore because it's just what they take out is 100% not classified or sensitive in any way. It's definitely government overreach. So I don't know if I can continue to do it going forward and still stay on this one-a-year book of fiction. Now, if I wrote nonfiction, I would 100% continue to submit. And if I ever do that, it'll be going into to the government review process. And however long they take, that's just how it goes.
Hey, and I'm looking at pictures of you online. Some of them are your clean face. Some of them, they have the facial hair. What do you have now, facial hair or your clean face?
Yep, no, I got the beard. It's, over in Afghanistan. It's actually before I came in the Navy, I spent some time up in Alaska, and I weave that into the storyline in book three as well. But, so I had the big beard going in the mid-90s, and, so then we got to Afghanistan. It was nice to grow that thing out again, and now that I'm out of the military and live up here in the mountains, it's just, I am bearded, and probably will be for quite some time.
Well, I appreciate the time today, Jack. Savage Sun again is out April 14th from Trier. It's great. It's tops the last one, which topped the first one, so I'm looking forward to see what you do in the next book to top this one. The one thing I feel bad about for you action thriller writers like this is you have to keep trying to top yourself in every book.
Yeah, you know, for me, I think of it as trying to get better with each one, learn from the last ones, refine the craft, move the ball forward, just like in any other industries, you want to move that ball forward each and every time. So rather than looking at it as having to top or do something, more outlandish or something like that, I look at it as moving that ball forward and adding to the genre as I progress.
And people should know, even though bookstores are closed, a lot of them are still open that you call and you order it ahead of time. They'll bring it out to your car or they'll mail it to you. You can go on Amazon and order it. So there's still a way to get books, and it's helped me pass the time, although my list of review books is dwindling, and I'm hoping that I can get a few more sent before these book companies close down completely and, you know, until everything settles down a bit.
Oh, I'm sure you can. Yeah, and there's ebooks and audiobooks. Yeah. The audiobook read was up for audiobook of the year last year because my narrator is just such a great guy, Ray Porter. It's out there in all those formats. And this week I should be launching on the website a map that shows the different bookstores that are doing home deliveries and places you can get a limited edition Savage Sun signed book plate. So trying to do that to help these independent bookstores because it's for rough time. There's no foot traffic, obviously, and they need a way to survive during these tough times. So the only place people can get the pretty cool Jack Carr Savage Sun limited edition book plates is through these independent local bookstores, and that'll be going up and will be announced this week.
Sweet. Well, again, thanks for the time today, Savage Sun, again out on April 14th, and hopefully we'll talk to you again next year for the next book.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me on. I sure appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Take care.